The next case is 99-1652-99-1962, Christopher Jackson v. Carla Rhodes.
We've had some hard cases, haven't we?
Took your position and held your position, wouldn't we have to say that anybody out of the state, if I had to go to the Mayo Clinic for a three-week treatment program, or I went fishing up in Canada for 2 weeks, that tolls the statute of limitations. And that's what we'd have to say to hold for you, wouldn't we?
That would be our position, yes.
Is that really what that statute was designed to do, or wasn't it just the defendants that make themselves unavailable?
Well, clearly, I don't think any of us would argue that it doesn't cover the situation where a defendant intentionally makes himself unavailable. The fact that the legislature chose to include the language and departs from the state of Ohio could be argued that as a safeguard to cover those situations where it could be determined why the defendant was gone. But it's our position that those types of voluntary absences would toll the running of the statute.
Is there any case that has held differently? I mean, I guess the Fourth District's decision seems to be the first time that have you found other cases that have held like the Fourth District that it's not, that the statute shouldn't be read as it's written?
Justice Cook, there are some other appellate decisions, and I'm sure Mr. Sellers will point out, that have held basically that unless a defendant absconds or conceals himself, the statute doesn't apply. Mm-hmm. We feel that the better recent cases, including the decisions of this court and numerous courts of appeals in Ohio, are to the effect that if you leave for voluntary non-business reasons, that the statute should be told. And that's a fairly small and insignificant impact on people's lives, and that people don't decide whether they're going to go on vacation based upon whether or not the statute of limitations is going to run against them.
I'm was taken by an example, right? I mean, considering the position as a trial judge, the border people, what they call them. Someone who lives in Cincinnati and is, you know, spending part of their time in production towards Cincinnati. So that person is sort of like, they have to add those 100 days that they spend, and so they're penalized for living in a border city. All the border people, you know, attorney comes to Columbus, or attorney leaves to Columbus, let the attorney to Cincinnati, stay for a 3-week trial. That can fire with that ball to Columbus. How do we treat all the people that live on the border that work back and forth?
Hypothetically, Justice Stratton, I think we could come up with a situation where a person may be perpetually gone from Ohio, even though they're here, but they, as a resident, they're still subject to the personal jurisdiction of our courts.
Do they get all those days added to their 2 years?
Potentially they could.
So you would depose them and get their calendar out, go 1, 2, 3, 4, you were here 5, 6, you weren't an animal?
I think the business distinction makes some sense in terms of the Commerce Clause. We have a couple cases where people have left for employment purposes or are out of the state for employment reasons. And the courts have distinguished that from personal, non-business, voluntary absences. You could argue to the absurd on either side. I think the bottom line is that our system and the legislature has designed it as such as to be somewhat flexible and hopefully allow the vast majority of cases to be heard on their merits and not on some procedural distinction. We would simply ask that the court approach this analysis of this statute the same as any other constitutional challenge, and that the acts of the General Assembly are presumed to be valid, and that in cases of doubt, should be held constitutional. The appellees and the Fourth District Court of Appeals relied heavily on Bendix, ROI Corporation versus Midwesco Enterprises Company decision. We would urge that Bendix is limited to its particular facts, which involve a foreign corporation that had come into Ohio on a limited basis for one job. And it sued many years later after the statute had run, alleging that since the foreign corporation had never been in Ohio, the statute had never begun to run against them. What is critical in that case is that it forced the foreign corporation into either appointing a resident agent for service of process, thereby submitting the corporation to the general jurisdiction of Ohio on every issue, or remaining liable in perpetuity and never having the statute run against them. We believe that that's entirely different than this case, where our defendants were Ohio residents, were subject to the personal jurisdiction of Ohio courts, and are very minutely affected by having the statute extended for 2 days. There's been no showing or urging that any evidence has been lost, that witnesses are no longer available, that they're not going to be able to present their case on the merits. And for that reason, we would urge that the statute be found constitutional and that the Fourth District Court of Appeals be reversed.
Thank you, Mr. Remus. Mr. Sellers.
Statute on its face discriminates against out-of-state Commerce, and if not, at that point to determine the state's interest and determine whether interstate or interstate commerce is either difference or burdens of facial discrimination expense. Now, we believe that appellants will concede and that the court since index are all in agreement that business travelers outside the state of Ohio as 2305.15a applies to those persons would be unconstitutional because of burdens against interstate commerce.
Is it your position that if the statute is constitutional that you lose?
Lose the case?
Mm-hmm.
No.
No, lose the issue of the statute of limitations.
If we lose...
Do you think the statute literally says that he's right?
I see. I understand. No, we don't lose the statute of limitations. But the particular facts of this case, for example, Carla Rhodes, she lives in Ohio. She's lived at the same residence from the day in Saxon to this day. She works in Parkersburg, West Virginia, 5 days out of the week. If you told statute of limitation for that time period, you would have to have 5 days per week on the statute of limitation.
And I'm asking you if that's what the statute says.
Would we lose the statute of limitations?
Yeah. Would you lose the defense of the statute of limitations? So you think, literally read, the statute of limitations covers people who are on vacation or going outside the jurisdiction for medical treatment?
Well, that is obviously a matter of dispute and has been for a number of years. I think initially this court, in a few cases, recognized that the literal interpretation of the statute was geared at defendants who have gone or concealed themselves from services.
Sure.
But with the Seeley opinion from the 70s, prior to the index opinion, I think we had a role reversal. And again, back to this particular situation.
Yeah, but that was in the context of businesses being out of state, was it not? Not individuals who go to a fishing lodge for 10 days.
That is true. I agree with that statement. But in this case,
Could we find a statute that applies to vacations unconstitutional, but stated on the basis of application of
consciousness? Right, correct.
You never read through how often that the consumers have been out of
town. Again, in this situation, for residents in our area, where I'm from,
the statute
is a largely rural Ohio area. The border is a large metropolitan, although not as big as Columbus, a large metropolitan area where a lot of people work. In this particular case, Carla works in West Virginia. It's not atypical for her and her family to do all of their grocery shopping, go to church on Sundays, to obtain their medical services in West Virginia, and to be out of state for 6 to 7 days a week in perpetuity. For example, Harold Rhodes, I spent a lot of my time preparing for this case at his bedside in Camden Park Memorial Hospital, which is in Parkersburg, West Virginia. He spends a lot of his time in a hospital bed outside of the state. And if you read the statute the way that appellants argue, basically, he loses that statute of limitations.
And what other reading is there, I guess I have to ask? If you read those words to say depart means depart, I mean, what other reading do you suggest? You're suggesting the effect can be, you know, it can really extend the statute for a very long time, given these people go back and forth. On the other hand, when you say, if you read it with that way, well, give what is the other potential reading?
I believe the only other... I don't think there's another reading the language says what it does, but I think
okay.
The other interpretation, you have to go back to the early, back to the 50s, the court in Kasuth and
Seeley.
Correct. To determine what the true meaning of that statute was when the framers of 2305.15 enacted that legislation.
And we would say this is what the General Assembly meant to enact as opposed to what they did enact?
If we weren't able to go that far, I believe at least it's this court's duty to, although it's presumptively valid, we have to look to the Constitution as well as the Ohio Constitution.
Yeah, assuming, I'm assuming there's no Bendix issue, you know, if we got over that, if, or didn't, you know, but assuming Bendix doesn't dictate that we'd hold it unconstitutional, then you suggest then we need to do a reading, and we've agreed that it can't be really a reading.
That is absolutely.
It might have to be an interpretation that differs from the language.
That is correct. An important factor in the Bendix opinion, in the Tazar opinion, a lot of these opinions is the defendant's inability to service the process. And in this case, as I stated, the appellees lived in the same residence that they, when they were served at the time that the accident occurred, they still lived in the same residence.
Doesn't Wetzel apply to this case?
We will concede that the state has a legitimate interest in the defendant's claims to serve that conflict. However, we believe that under the current rules, service of process and harmless procedures, is the rule 3A, where states are given 1 year from the date of final claims to serve the defendants, and likewise 4.6D, if they attend to the defendant, for example, if Harold and Carlo were to take a vacation for 10 days, or Harold was to serve a kidney transplant evaluation, if they were out of town, then either opponent tried to serve him on the person for a certification of the trustee in the state would permit them to serve them by ordinary mail, simply leaving them at their residence. And we think that's a very critical factor in this case, as it was in Bendix. Even though, in this case, service process was not attempted until after the statute had run, it never would have been a problem. From day one. Because of that, we urge the schools to confirm
the court's appeals. But you have to understand that the U.S. Supreme Court came on and banned it.
Thank you, Mr. Dillard.
Effects of it.
Mr. Remus, you've stayed almost 7 minutes.
Because you're restricting people's right to travel.
As it applies to business entities, not in the state. Yeah, I agree with that.
Just like to make a couple of final points. One, neither the defense of the statute of limitations nor the right to travel are considered fundamental rights. We would urge that it certainly within the priority of the legislature and other courts to establish the process by which both Ohio citizens and non-residents access and go through our court system and tell the legislature undertakes to change the statute, it has to be given its literal meaning. The State Department of the State, right there or wrong, the courts that have interpreted it that way, we believe that done so correctly, including this court, and Sealy, and Wetzel, and the remaining cases cited in the brief, where it's taken to follow those.
Almost in every case, then, you'd have to file the case so you could get discovery, take depositions to see whether the defendant spent any time at a medical clinic outside or was on a vacation in Florida for 2 weeks in the winter. All of that time would be told. And the only way you'd find that out is discovery, wouldn't you? So you'd have to file a lawsuit.
That's exactly how we did it, Justice Douglas, and I wasn't even aware of the tolling statute before this case. But in researching it and seeing how other cases had approached the issue, that's precisely what we did. Mr. and Mrs. Rhodes were very forthcoming, readily admitted the times that they were gone. And we gave clear counsel on both sides that that was going to be the issue in the case.
So you want us to find the statute constitutional and apply it literally?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Second, Mr. Remus, the case is submitted. You'll be advised for opinion. Take a brief recess.